I will be reading from John 11, verse 17 to 27 in the NIV translation. It's about the death of Lazarus. Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in a tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last days." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. One who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world."
Morning, everyone. My name is Jared, the pastor here at High Wycombe. It's wonderful to welcome you here. Will you pray with me as we begin? Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your grace and your goodness to us. We thank you that we can gather here as your people on this wonderful Sunday morning, knowing that our Lord Jesus is risen from the grave, never to die again, and that our eternity is secure in him. Lord, fill our hearts with joy. Fill our songs with rejoicing, and please fill our day with great encouragement as we look to Jesus and the wonderful truth it is that he is risen. And we praise him and you and our Holy Spirit forevermore. Amen. All right. What happens when we die? Is that it? Or is there something more? What do you believe? Not too many funerals have someone saying, "Well, that's it. This person with no meaning, no purpose, and no future is gone." No matter how vague, most people, even the most convinced atheists, find it difficult in the face of death to really believe that that's the end. And that's by design. Today we're going to be looking at this passage and thinking a bit about what's going on with Lazarus and Jesus and his sisters and so on. And we're going to look at it in three headings. If only you'd been here, hope in the face of death, and the beginning of the end. So we'll begin with if only you'd been here. Today's Bible reading that Cora just read for us is part of a larger account that tells of Lazarus, a man whom Jesus loves, who becomes very ill. He gets the sort of "come right now if you want to see him before he dies" kind of illness. Have you ever received one of those calls where it's now or never? Come right now. Only by dropping everything and going straight away are you going to see this person before he or she dies. What a devastating moment that is. We have one of those situations here in John 11 with Jesus and Lazarus. Now, Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha, send for Jesus. They send someone to go and ask him to come. They ask Jesus for his help to come and heal their brother. In their message, they say this in John 11:3, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." So it's a beautiful way of describing it. They know Jesus loves them. They know that Jesus loves their brother Lazarus, and they send for Jesus. They say, "Lord, he whom you love is ill," and they ask him to come and help them. And a beautiful insight into our Lord, we're told that Jesus loves them. We're told that he deeply loves and cares for Lazarus and Mary and Martha. The love that they knew that Jesus had for them is genuine. Jesus knows them. Jesus loves them. So they send to Jesus, the one they know who is powerful to heal. And then in verses 5 to 7, we read about this. The surprising thing, though, is what happens because of Jesus' love. So have a listen to this. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. What? Does it surprise anyone else when you read that? And you think, hang on a second. So Jesus, he loves them. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he didn't go. He decided to stay. Well, for a few days. And then later he says, let's go to Judea. That is a shocking thing. And it makes us wonder, how? How does that make sense? Why is it that because of Jesus's love, he waits long enough for Lazarus to die before he goes? Well, verse 4 gives us a bit of a clue or an understanding of that. It says, when Jesus is talking about it, he says, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Again, this kind of makes us go, what? Because Lazarus died in this passage. So there's a few things going on here that really sort of make us scratch our heads and think, what is really going on here? But somehow, this illness that results in Lazarus being dead is not something that's going to, is not an illness that leads to death. And somehow, God will be glorified in this. In ways in which it seems impossible to understand at the moment, Jesus delaying his coming is the result of his love for them. We'll talk about that a bit more later. But in the immediate situation, you can just see the grief of Mary and Martha, who make the exact same statement in verses 21 and 32. They both say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. The implication of these, if only you'd been here statements, is that you could have done something about it if you were here. If only you were here, you could have stopped it. It sort of like makes me think of those medical situations where someone's out in the bush and they get a terrible disease, and if only there'd been someone like a doctor or a nurse or someone who knew first aid, something could have been done. Something could have been done to help that person, to make them survive. If only you'd been here, you could have done something about it. But now it's too late. Lazarus is dead. That Jesus, who's done remarkable healings, who's cast out demons, who's restored sight to the blind, made the lame walk, the deaf hear, and healed all manner of diseases, he could have done something about this. You can see this same kind of thinking by the Jews in verse 37, where they say, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? And these statements show some faith in Jesus and his power to heal, but not yet a complete grasp of who he is and what he's capable of. He can do all of these other miraculous healings. So surely, if he'd got there in time, he could have done something about this. But he didn't get there in time. So where does that leave us? And we come to our second point, hope in the face of death. Death is often a time when people feel a profound lack of hope. Those whom we love are gone, and that's devastating. It's not just another part of life. It's the end of life. It's not the way things are supposed to be. And vague sentimental notions don't overcome the reality that a person is gone. And so in the face of death, we often find ourselves heartbroken and grieving. Perhaps you've lost a loved one recently, or the loss of a loved one still weighs heavily on you. And I'm truly sorry. And if you would like to be with someone, we here at Iwycombe would love to be with you through that and pray with you. Because that's not a nice place to be. Death is not the way things are supposed to be. The longer we're around, the more we witness death. It's one of the things that I've heard from people as they get older. One of the hard things about getting older, aside from the aches and the pains, is watching the ones you love die. How hard, how sad, how devastating. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, got very sick and died. And the whole situation is one of deep grief. You'll notice the finality of it. It's mentioned that Lazarus has been dead not one, not two, not three, but 4 days. This isn't like, oh, maybe he's not quite dead. You know, just smack him a bit or shake him and he'll regain consciousness. No, not at all. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He's as dead as a doornail. to the point where there's an odor. And even the other resurrections in the scriptures up to this point were soon after the death, not 4 days later. So it looks hopeless and griefful. You know, there's consoling of Mary and Martha in verse 19. There's weeping by Mary and the Jews a little bit later on as well in the passage. And then even Jesus wept in verse 35. Clearly the weight of Lazarus's death, clearly the weight of that was felt by all. By his sisters, by the Jews consoling his sisters, by Jesus himself. Jesus knows the outcome of what will happen. But yet, here he is weeping alongside Mary and Martha and the Jews following the death of this man whom he loved. Unless Jesus returns first, we're all going to die. It's incredibly sad when someone dies. It's not how God designed his world. He made the world good, and at the beginning there was no death. In the face of death, we can feel helpless and even hopeless. But what I love about Martha's response in this passage is her hope in Jesus in the face of death. Even though her brother has died, we still see her hope. It's often in the hardest moments that we see where we're really at. And this is a beautiful picture of her God-given hope in Jesus. Verses 21 to 22. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." She didn't know what Jesus would do. She didn't really know where this was going right now, but she trusted Jesus. And that's a beautiful picture of her hope. The next verse, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And again, we see Martha's faith that even though Lazarus was dead, he would rise at the end when God raises up his people to eternal life. And Jesus' response answers both the "if only you'd been here" longings, as well as the giving hope in ways that go beyond Martha and our wildest dreams. It is never too late for Jesus. And Jesus shines his light of hope in the darkest of situations. As a saying, it's always darkest before the dawn. And that's because the light of day stands in contrast to the black of night. It's in the space of despair and grief that Jesus' words ring out like cosmic lightning bolts of extraordinary hope. Which brings us to the beginning of the end. Verse 25 to 27. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Jesus in this passage says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Martha's thinking, one day God's going to raise everybody and I'm hopeful. I know that my brother will be raised then. But Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." The hope that she needs is standing right in front of her because it's Jesus himself. Martha is right that there will be a resurrection at the end. But what Jesus teaches her here was as astonishing back then as it is to us right now. That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That his identity is the Lord in whom is life, who gives life in the first place, and who gives life to those who believe in him, who've lost their lives in death. And we see a worked out example of this in this passage where after praying, Jesus says to Lazarus, he says, "Lazarus, come out." And out of this tomb comes this dead man, or who was just dead man, who's been raised to life, wrapped up like a mummy, out hobbles Lazarus. You know, maybe he still smelled, we don't know. But here he was, a man who was 100% dead, now 100% alive. Why? Because of Jesus, and because of his powerful, authoritative, loving word, and his awesome resurrection power. Lazarus didn't raise himself. Jesus rose Lazarus. And in doing so, reveals more of who he, Jesus, is and more of his love for his people. You know, by waiting, Jesus gave Lazarus and Mary and Martha and the other people there then and us now more of an insight into his great love, his great power, and his great kindness. And then later, Jesus rose himself from the grave as the first fruits of all those who believe in him. And that's what we're celebrating today on Easter. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of the end, because the final resurrection that is to come has begun with Jesus, the risen Lord, and is secure for all of us who trust in him. Well, and while we still live in a world tainted by sin and death, we live with the hope of love, light, and life in Jesus. Jesus' love overcomes hate. Jesus' light overcomes darkness. Jesus' life overcomes death. And this life is on offer. All who believe in Jesus receive this life. So the question for us is the question that Jesus asked Martha. Do you believe this? Do we here today in High Wycombe believe this, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that he's our only hope for eternity, that he's our Lord, our Savior, and our King, that he has power over our ultimate enemies of sin, death, and the devil? I love this quote that D.L. Moody had about himself. He says this: someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher. That is all. Gone out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal. A body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint. A body like unto his own glorious body. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the spirit will live forever. Amen.